This is Noisy People. I'm Tim Perkis. Today, my guest is French contrabassist, vocalist, improviser, and composer, Joël Leandre. When Joël Leandre first emerged on the European musical scene in the 1970s as a young conservatory student, she was quickly recognized as a major figure. She's gone on to a career which has helped to define the nature of contemporary European music, both as an improviser, deeply influenced by American free jazz, and as a sought-after virtuosic interpreter of the works of contemporary composers such as Cage, Feldman, Chelsea, and Xenakis, Boulez, and many more who have written pieces especially for her. About 10 years ago, she had a long residency at Oakland's Mills College, at which time she made many friends and fans in the Bay Area. She came to San Francisco again recently, and we had a chance to talk. We started our conversation talking about her early days at the conservatory in Paris around 1970.
I come from quite traditional, classic background. Very young, at 19 years old, 18 years old, I arrived very, very young. Young girl. And we pass hours and hours to practice so boring stuff, you know. But at least they give you force and knowledge, and you start, in a way, to be more and more free with your tool. You need to know your tool to express something else. More you know, more you can talk. If you don't have a culture, you cannot speak. And slowly I finish my classical studies. I start a little bit this symphony orchestra. I never took a position, but it was fantastic. I was also playing with Antal Doratti, Barenboim, the Bernstein, you know, who else, Lorin Maazel. It was fantastic. I was just freelance. You can read anything, any music, any sound, anything. You put a score or paper on music stand and you read. It's just a life. I start very young to play this old, we call from here, Western music. It's fantastic to listen Beethoven and Vivaldi, but they have to sleep, you know. It's a necrophile music.
Ah, yeah.
Necrophile music. It was fantastic repertory, but it was not my stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I stopped that, and I play also a lot of new music. I work with John Cage, but I work with Stockhausen, with the Berio, with Xenakis, with Boulez. I play 2 years with Boulez, freelance.
Joël got the reputation as a shark, as they're called in France, a top-tier musician who can immediately read any kind of difficult score put in front of them and deliver a great performance without a lot of rehearsal. At the same time, on her own, she was discovering the American free jazz players who were visiting or living in Paris.
My teacher, classical blah-blah, never told me, hey, Joël, be curious when you see in Paris a band arriving, you know, jazz or what. Please go to listen them, because the bass is very important in this music. I learned by myself. The American Center, Boulevard Raspail. Everything happened, the performance, African music.
Is this like in the 70s you're talking about?
Yeah, 70, yeah. End of 60. And the free jazz, they came in Paris. They stayed there, you know. Bill Dixon with Alan Silva, he played bass. Alan. I don't know even if he had a bow. Maybe he had a stick of trees. I don't know what he had. And he was playing, singing, you know. This jubilation. These guys gave me this freedom, in a way. Yes. And this freedom of expression, could say. And this life ceremony. I'm a child of that. I'm a child of free jazz. Play. You will see. Play some things. Play your music.
Joël with George Lewis, trombone, from their 2009 CD, Transatlantic Visions. Thank you. When Joelle began to meet major American and European improvisers, such as English guitarist Derek Bailey, saxophonist Evan Parker, German bassist Peter Kowald, and American composer and saxophonist Anthony Braxton, she was ready to start playing with them, and they were ready to treat this obviously immensely talented young woman as a peer.
Hey, I met Derek Bailey, so important. And after Derek, because I met Derek, he invited me at the BBC in London. I played with Evan Parker, so Peter Kowal from Berlin. You know, if you went to Berlin, you went to Wuppertal, Boltzmann. So they invited me. I was ready. But I was ready with, I believe, on this nomadism.
Sorry? This nomadism. What is the advantage
to
of
be
that?
Ready?
To be ready for?
For everything, anything and everything. Not with judgment and opinion. This power and this hierarchy. I learned that in sounds with John Cage. No hierarchy. Who decides the sound is ugly or beautiful? Who decides if you do this, it's ugly? Who decides that? It's a cultural power of decisions who decide that.
So there's a political aspect in it.
It's totally political. It's totally political. And I have this conscience, probably because I come from quite poor family. You know, this follow you all your life.
You come from Aix-en-Provence, right? You grew up
in
Aix.
Yeah, but the time wasn't from very worker family. Not poor, but worker. Not too much money at home. And I asked my parents to make music very young, very, very young. And they say, yeah, they could say no. You know what she said, my mother, when the first 8 years and half, small, little girl, I would like to make music, I said. She looks at me, say, what do you say? I would like to make music. And she take a silence and she said, it's not for us. It means something, no?
Yeah.
Because we know the culture. Music, dance, or all
this
is for bourgeois and rich people. So this probably pushed me every day also to open my eyes and my ears and to, in French we say, prendre la parole, to talk by yourself. Say never no, you have to say yes. Life is a pure adventure.
In her career spanning 40 years, Joelle has toured almost constantly, playing an assortment of gigs either as an interpreter of contemporary compositions or as an improviser, focusing on her own spontaneous and ephemeral music, whether in solo or small ensembles. And aside from a certain number of composers to whom she remains loyal, including Cage, Chelsea, Berio, and Ligeti, in recent years she's moved away from playing others' compositions and has some criticism for the contemporary definition of what a composer is and does.
It's a big work to compose, but there are too much square head. They stop to play an instrument. I hate the shit. That's why I like jazz people.
Because they're players.
Yeah, because they are first performer players. You can talk about Derek until he die, or Louis Armstrong with his trumpet, or Mingus with his bass, or Duke Ellington with his piano, or Wayne Shorter with his sax. All jazz people are performer, improviser, and composer. And now when we see what's happening in 20 and 21 century for composer, they don't touch an instrument. It's just a concept, intellectual, you know, and you receive some score. It's empty. Nobody, no carne, we call in Italian, la carne, la chair.
Yeah.
No body.
No flesh
just,
to it.
Exactly. No flesh. You know, it's just intellectual process or concept. And where is the music? I'm sorry to say that I play a lot of shit. I play a lot of shit, kilo of shit. And so sad. You finish the concert, you don't know even if you want to go to the restaurant after the gig. Slowly, I left this. I prefer to do my stuff, to build something else by me, by myself.
This is Joelle on bass with vocalist Lauren Newton from their 2010 CD, Live in Ljubljana.
So to come back, just this tradition, it took me, I could say 20, 25, 20 years to learn, but it took me the same to unlearn. I'm like a McDonald's, you know, in this hamburger, you know, you have the tradition to know your tool. You have this contemporary need in English, gesture.
Contemporary, modern art, yeah, composition.
Exactly. And the other was this free jazz, this jubilation. In a way, I'm a rebel. How do you say rebel?
Rebel.
Rebel, yeah. You know, I always, and I thought the same when I was so young. I think artists are subversive. If not, you become an institutional artist. I've never been in an institution, never. If I was, I left. That's why I never teach. I could teach since 30 years. I like to perform. I think music is like, this music at least, this creative music, it's like a soup, a big soup, you know. And we try to give some flavor or some surprise. By chance, you put another flavor and they make a nice soup. This soup will be fantastic. This is important. This music is here and now. And I like this urgency. Urgency and risk. Any sound has a life and death. When we improvise, in a way, it's just this moment. And we're so intense, and in a way we died also.
In the playing.
Yeah, it's a metaphor, all that. It's not, yes. I die.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
A picture. It's une metaphor. This urgence. You're like in between two big mountains. You're like a funambule.
Tightrope walker, you say.
I don't know. Yeah, funambule, because you can die if you're not like this. And we are the same. And why I like this music is no hierarchy, no gender, no man, woman, no race, no skin. We just have what you have in your stomach, yeah, in your life, what you cross in your the past, your beautiful, your frustration, your angry, your poetic, your shit. Also, how the life can be every day. What the life is not smile. Life is beautiful. What do you mean life is beautiful? Life is not beautiful. You see, I mean, it's a big work every day. It's good. You know what says Samuel Beckett? I like that. I have to say in French. Rater, rater beaucoup et rater encore.
Fail often and fail again.
And fail again. Yeah, because we learn. Artist has to change the world. To provoke something else, why we go on stage. I want to provoke something else. It can be hard, it can be aggressive sometimes, it can be violent, it can be poetical, it can be tender, it can be nothing, it can be just, because it's important to make, because I like it. They have to work. I work a lot.
So that the audience has to work.
Yeah, exactly. Of course they have to work. Yeah. You know, we don't have to mâcher for them. They have to learn.
Yeah,
they
don't have to work. We don't chew it for them. They have
yeah,
to,
you know, because yeah. I work a lot. I know I can do this. And can do... I can do it when I want. Or I can do... Because I like it, no hierarchy. Things is to stay in vibration, and like that, life is a vibration, like this. Maybe I'm a bee, I say.
You're a bee?
Yeah, I'm a big bee, a bee.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a bee, take something.
And take from here and there and yeah. here and there and vibrate on.
Maybe I'm a big bee. You know, it's a no school of what I do.
There's no school?
No school, yeah. It's a freedom school, I could say. To be you, do it.
Yeah.
This is come from America. It doesn't come from Europe. So, I think I say a lot of things.
Yeah, I think that's...
I talk like une pie. Comment on dit? Elle parle comme une pie. You know this big bird?
Oh, pie. Yeah, magpie.
Black,
you say.
Yeah. Black and pie.
Mm. We went everywhere, so.
Good.
Great.
So, thank you.
This has been the Noisy People Podcast, episode number 2. My special thanks for this edition go to Madame Leandre, to Myra Melford for being instrumental in getting Joelle to California this time, to Philip Gelb for introducing me to Joelle originally those years ago, and to Paul Canales of Duende in Oakland, California. And as always, to my audio guru, Philip Perkins, who isn't to blame for anything that's wrong with this show. I did it all. The podcast is now, or shortly will be, available through iTunes subscription, on SoundCloud, and at the website noisypeople.net, where you can also find images, outtakes, and unedited versions of the interviews, and links to music and people referred to in the show. Noisy People is a project of Artifact Recordings, and this episode was produced in March of 2015.